It's great to see all of you here today and be with Fort Wayne. It's been a long time since the Fort Wayne congregation has been down here, so this is, it feels like the old times of us being able to meet together so much. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 5, as we know, Moses is telling forth the Ten Commandments and his message. Deuteronomy 6, also a well-known scripture, a whole chapter where he's, you know, giving us the greatest commandment. The Shema is in this section. It's one of those seminal type scriptures. But near the end, we have a nice kind of interlude a little bit and a couple of verses that come down at the end. If you turn to Deuteronomy 6, and in verse 20, we have Moses kind of taking a break from giving all this heavy, heavy stuff, you know, commandments and statutes and loving the Lord and who God is. There's a lot of stuff wrapped up in Deuteronomy 5 and 6. And in verse 20, he asks kind of a rhetorical question. And he says, when your son asks you in the time to come saying, quote, what is the meaning of these testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Why are we here? Why do we do all this? He's basically asking. He just gave them all these rules and all these things. And says, when in the future, when your kid comes to you and says, why do we do this? Why did we wash each other's feet a week ago? Why did we eat matzos and not donuts this week? I figure everyone's got to talk about donuts at some point during their message this week. But why did we do that? Why did we eat a matzo? There is no reason in the world to eat a matzo otherwise than that you're commanded to. You know, why do we do this? And he says, then you shall say to your son, verse 21, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. It's pretty powerful. He knows that that memory will go away. This is a generation that just walked out. He knows generations will come that will forget. I've been to Egypt. I didn't get put in chains. I was able to come and go as I pleased. I was able to walk among the pyramids. I was able to leave. It was a weird place. A gentleman offered me 40 camels for my wife. I don't know what the exchange rate is for camels. I said no. So I'd like some credit for that at least. But I was able to leave. I can go this day. I was able to go into this country and I wasn't put in chains. I wasn't enslaved and I never have been since and anywhere I've gone. But they were. A foreign land had subjugated these people and put them in chains and treated them in bondage. And God, through no fault, no reason that they earned, through his grace only, it's not like the Israelites earned their departure or earned their ability to walk out of that land. It was purely 100% God's grace that allowed them to do it. And he says, we were slaves. And through God's power, we were able to leave. And now he is our king. And these are the rules and this is what we'll follow. And this is what we will remember. And this is why we are here. This day too. All these thousands of years later. Let's go to Romans 6 and bring it to more modern day. Well, Deuteronomy 6 is one of those seminal chapters in the book, in the Bible. Romans 6 as well. This is one of my favorite chapters. This is one of those chapters of the Bible you can build a religion around. All right. It's like a franchise player on a football team or a baseball team. This is one of those heavy hitter chapters that if you can only take a few, it gives everything into one set of scriptures. And Paul starts out with the same. He starts out with a rhetorical question as well. He says, shall we continue in sin now that grace is abound? It's the same subject matter. And Paul is taking on the heavy issues of sin and Christ's sacrifice and death and grace. But let's start in verse 4. And we're going to read a few verses here. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, he says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. What were we looking at on that Passover night? I mean, we start with the Passover service, that meal that he had with the individuals around him, but we know what the next 12 hours were like for him. And it's the same thing here. It's that crucifixion, his death that culminated at the end of that Passover service that we know and how important that was. But it's really also those next 3 days as he was buried in the ground as it was foreseen. And then his resurrection that comes with that. It's that whole totality of his death, his burial, his true death, and then his resurrection that makes all this possible. And he's saying here that we were buried with him. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. He's taking that concept and putting it forward that we were just as much with him. What he went through that night, as this holy day pictures, as we've walked out from sin, we've walked out from the bondage that we had, and what he went through then that Passover evening, that this also applies to us, he's talking about. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I were slaves just as much as those Israelites were. I might not have had a chain around my neck or around my legs. I might not have been subjugated in a foreign land and forgotten who my parents and my family members were like they were. They don't even remember who Joseph was who brought them to Egypt. That might not be my story, and it might not be yours, but we were slaves just as much. And we were slaves to sin. It's the exact same principle. And Paul's bringing that out here and reminding them, why are we here? Because we were slaves just as much. And so as he started at the beginning, should we continue to sin just because grace was granted to those Israelites that they were allowed to leave and go out into the wilderness doesn't mean they should keep sinning. And he's making the same point here. Just we were slaves to sin and we put that away through that grace that we have. Verse 7, moving on, it says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Christ's sacrifice freed us. And we died with him. When we went through that process of baptism, we buried our old man, or our old woman, or our old self. We put it under a watery grave. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Just as he was resurrected, just as his finality was short-lived, so shall ours be. And that's why we're here. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 6. I didn't tell you to leave your place there, but hopefully you know where Deuteronomy is. It's in the first 5 books if you don't. Deuteronomy 6, because I stopped early. And the reason I started a scripture I read on the Night to Be Much Observed this week was my impetus for this message that I thought was just beautiful. And if something kind of encapsulates why we're here, because that's what Paul's asking, what are we even doing here? Is we're closing out this holy day here on this day. And as of tonight, we can go back to donuts and whatever it may be, but we must always remember, shouldn't we? Verse 23 of Deuteronomy 6, after he answers this question, he says, then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in. I love that line. He brought us out that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. We've been brought out. They were taken out of bondage physically. And they sat in a land here, likely in the Negev desert, as they wandered for a period of time until their chance came to be brought in. We are in the same boat. Those who have taken the opportunity to dedicate ourselves and to kill off our old self died that day, just as Christ died, as we read about in Romans 6, and have put away that old man or that old woman. Some of us were younger when we did it, but it felt old and felt like a long time ago. But we put that away, and that person died to a watery grave. We've been raised a new individual, one who lives as Christ did, awaiting that time that we will also be brought in, as we have been brought out. He was crucified, Jesus Christ, as we looked about on the Passover service, and resurrected that so he could rejoin God the Father in heaven. We were drowned so that we could rise a new person, a new individual, free of that sin and abounding in grace that we might live a new life as well. And one day we will die so that we can truly live. All man perishes, but we know that must come one day because the only way to truly live as a spirit being that promised land that was offered, The Israelites were offered a land they hadn't gotten to yet. When here in Deuteronomy 6, when Moses writes this, they weren't there yet. The promise was still sitting in front of them, but as we know, it would take a little bit of time. They'd been brought out, but they were as of yet brought in. And we sit in the same moment now, that we've been given the opportunity and taken the chance to be brought out, but we still look forward. And that's what makes the spring holidays so great, is because we look forward then to the fall holidays, because that tells us of the time where we will be brought in. So let us remember why we are here, that we too have been brought out, and we look forward to the day when we shall be brought in.